Railway Stories from the Monsall Trail, the stations. This episode features the voices of people who travelled the line and remember the stations they passed through.
Well, my name's Chris Gundry, and my father was a station master from 1948 to 1960.
At Great Longston?
At Great Longston. So we arrived in the January, and the station house was all sort of empty and big and stony and cold, you know, so, but we loved it. Talk about exploring that. We arrived in 1948, the family arrived in 1948. So, and it went on from there. We just lived with the railway, really. You couldn't help it. I chose the bedroom on the railway side, right over the platform. It seemed as if you could reach out to touch the trains, but really what happened was you got the smoke through the window when it was open in the summer. And I remember lying in bed, watching smoke swirl around the room. It was like that. Building was black. Do you know what I used to like doing best? Cleaning the lamps, because that's what you did in porters' rooms. You clean the reflectors behind the paraffin lamps, and you clean the paraffin lamp, you fill them up with paraffin, and you clean the glass if it had a lens, or the chimney if it was an office lamp. And that station, it had got electricity, but it was really paraffin. And it looked really nice because there was a pool of brighter light round the office, and then the platforms were in darkness, and from the office end, all you could see was a string of paraffin lights, which had to be lit, of course. But when you got up there, they were shining quite brightly, actually, in the blackness, because it was a dark place down there when the trains weren't there. And one of the things you had to do was get a little ladder and put it against the lamp standard, climb up and get the lamp down to fill it and clean it and all that sort of thing. But Father, he built special little steps out of stone and put rockery plants around them. And that's what he did with the station. In his spare time, he garnered the embankments and equipped all the lampposts with install steps. So you walked up the steps. The flowers would be flowering, you know, the rockery plants would be flowering. And then you do the thing with the paraffin lamps. So that was that. And it ended up having station gardens, more or less. You can see them there. And the station lent itself to it, didn't it? Because it's in that cutting. And something that's very, 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 very fortunate, really, for him, he was great mates with the head gardener. And in those days, Thornbridge Hall was a training college for young lady teachers. But Sheffield was still treating it like a stately home with a head gardener. And he was raising plants for the parks in Sheffield. So in the spring he'd had thousands and thousands of plants, more than he'd ever need. And while he was pricking out the plants for Sheffield, my father would take some that were obvious, you know, there were far, far too many. He'd prick out some plants, and he put his in the station embankment, the station gardens.
Can you describe what the garden was like? Because, of course, the visitors won't see the photograph.
Well, what was it like, Edna? There was that facing embankment.
Big embankment. There was the large embankment, wasn't there?
Yeah. It had
And then it had two beds there.
Yeah.
A squash diamond, almost.
Yeah, that's right. The lawns were always done around the flower beds. The flower bed on the downside, beyond the porter's room, because the station buildings were there, that was also herbaceous, wasn't it?
Yes, that was a bit herbaceous.
But the other side was manicured lawns. And I think the idea was, it was an oblong with a circle in the middle, and that was how the station signs were made. I'm pretty certain about this. So the middle bed, full of flowers, was the same shape as some of the British Railway station signs in those days. And then the two triangles, you know, pointing outwards, And again, with things like antirrhinums in them, and a border along the front with smooth stones, not exactly flagstones, but sensible stones to make a path, and you could walk along the front, or you could walk along the platform, and better still, you could sit over the other side and look at the gardens, or you could sit with your backs to the gardens on the seats there and look at the other side. It was lovely, you see. No, that's okay.
Sorry about that.
And that's the... it says Great Longstool and Queen Elizabeth II and some things you can't quite make out, even with a magnifying glass. But that was the sort of thing he did as well. He was very good at lettering and poster work, and the station often had the big black railway display boards. He often painted them. They were too lovely for Anders, weren't they, Edna? That one's gone now, but you can see they're built into the embankment, and they've got the Victorian boarding, haven't they? A nice solid support, and you were supposed to only cross the line by the bridge, up the steps, over the bridge, down the steps, and wait for your train. But nobody did. They all nipped across the track on the planking. And the equivalent veranda is built into the station.
Millersdale was really a very important station because it was the only way to get from the Derby line into Buxton, and Millersdale was where the interchange took place. And if you look at Millersdale station now, you can see there's still a separate bridge where the push-pull from Buxton into Millersdale and back came and went.
Can you describe what Millersdale station was like?
Well, it was huge. I mean, I the main alternative I could compare it with is Chesterfield, which just had two platforms, really. It still does. But Millersdale, I say it had at least, I'm sure it had at least five. And if I recall, I think the Buxton branch went from platform five. There were four main platforms, and then Buxton was the furthest one away. I think most of the expresses used to go on the main line, but when the Buxton Express came in, the last carriage used to be uncoupled, and then the train would pull away, and then a few minutes later, this little tank engine had come reversing onto this one coach train, the London Buxton Express, I remember. They used to have boards on the carriages at the side, London Buxton Express, and it might have been Express up to Millersdale, but from Millersdale to Buxton, we could almost walk as fast. I'm fairly sure at one time it used to have a cafe restaurant that sold the traditional curled up British Rail sandwiches and toilets, and there's a booking office, waiting rooms.
And if somebody went to Millersdale station today, what can they see that is left from that?
Well, I think you can still see at least two of the platforms, and obviously the Ranger station is now based in what used to be the booking hall, as I recall. That was like platform one, and then there was like an island platform opposite that, which would be platform two and three, and I think you can still see them. But I think, from what I recall, the one beyond that, I'm sure there was another one beyond that, which I think was the Buxton line, and I don't think you can see that now.
As you go in, there used to be three offices for the coal merchants, and the last one was a weighbridge. It was a huge weighbridge, and you go down where you park, and on the left-hand side, there's this little square office attached to, like, this building here, which is where we stored all the cattle foods. Mm. And then you can go right down the yard and then come back and come along the station there.
The main bit on the station that you see today, if you walk from the car park and turn right into the station, is that the booking office?
Yes, 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 yes it is. That was the booking office. And yes, all our trucks went at the back.
How did people get from one platform to the other?
There was an under one, underpasses. You went along halfway along platform one and then down a big steep stairway and then along, and you could come up on platform 2 or you could go right across onto platform 4.
And now, well, it's still there, just the same as it was. The two platforms are side by side and the two railway bridges are over them with us there together.
This podcast was produced by InHeritage on behalf of the Peak District National Park Authority to celebrate the reopening of the railway tunnels for walkers, cyclists and horse riders on the Monsall Trail. Interviews were conducted in March 2011. Thank you to all who offered their memories of the Midland Railway. We're grateful for funding from Cycling England. Steam Locomotive recordings are courtesy of Steam Sounds. Monsall Trail Blues is written by Steve Russell and performed by the Slingshots.